when you can.
Temporary layoffs.
Good times.
Easy credit rip-offs.
Good times.
Scratching and surviving.
Good times.
Hanging in and enjoying.
Good times. Ain't we lucky we got them?
What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and the music is for the people. We at Rockstrex 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, and/or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels, or hopefully by the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome
to
Rock Strikes!
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. All right, welcome to part 4 of the Odds and Ends, the last Odds and Ends entry for this epic, super spectacular retrospective dealing with the year 1974. And as I mentioned on a previous episode of the Odds and Ends here for 74, is I was a few songs light to make this a four-parter, so I didn't want to make cuts backwards. I went forwards, and I did pad the show with a few singles, but not single-only releases. So breaking my rule a little bit for the Odds and Ends, but also wanted to shine a spotlight on a couple of records that didn't quite make the cut for my album's countdown coming up. And unfortunately, that was one of them right there. I do respect the hell out of Sparks, and I like a good amount of their songs, but I've yet to really come across a whole bunch of albums that I'm like, those are good albums top to bottom. They're always usually like three quarters good or maybe about half and half for me. But can't deny how cool that single is right there. And that was a single release from their full-length album, Kimono, My House. That was This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. So yeah, fun track right there. Definitely give it up for him and a lot of those singles as well. But yes, continuing on here with the last bit of the Odds and Ends of 1974, doing that with another record that I unfortunately had to cut off of the album's countdown. So it didn't quite hit that great. There were a handful of really good songs, but just not enough to put it over the top and get it into the countdown. And this one really pains me because this is an all-time Hall of Fame act right here. Sly and the Family Stone. I count Stone, by the way, in the A to Z. That's how I file it. So just in case you're like, wait a second, that's not A to Z. But yeah, if you do it with Sly, then yeah, it should have been on the last episode. But doing it with Stone officially, that's just how I am. I'm weird. But yeah, the album Small Talk, it's all right. It's definitely showing signs of decline. Sly himself was in decline, personally, chemically, professionally, what have you. But the fact that he could still pull a couple of classics per record, like, that just shows you just how talented the guy is. When he's like half on this earth, he's still pulling out some crazy material here and there. This being one of them right here. One of my all-time favorite Sly and the Family Stone songs. And you may recognize this as maybe being sampled on something later on. Of course, I'll give up the ghost after we play it. But here is Sly and the Family Stone with Loose Booty. Hey, 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 hey. All right, there you have it. Sly and the Family Stone right there with Loose Booty, Small Talk. And yeah, come on, you got to know that one, right? That is the all-around referencing there for what would later become Shadrach by the Beastie Boys off of the classic Paul's Boutique right there. One of my all-time favorite records. And yeah, I mean, that's one of those instances, the only instance, I think, on Paul's Boutique where they're basically just lifting out of the whole song here and there and making it the entire song. All the other songs, they just do the cut-paste job and moving around different instruments off of different songs and making new songs out of it. But that's the only one where you're just like, wow, that's pretty much the whole thing right there. So not that I'm calling the Dust Brothers like a Puff Daddy or anything. No. Don't get me wrong. See, the thing about that hack that I just mentioned is that he'll take hooks out of popular hits and make them his own. Not really his own, but you know what I'm getting at. But Loose Booty wasn't a big hit, so it's not like they're lifting out of something that was just like a proven classic or anything. It was a deep cut that obviously they enjoyed enough to put on that record, at least the Dust Brothers did. So there you have it. I'll defend it in that realm for sure. I can defend that scientifically and with an Etch-A-Sketch. Okay, got some all-time rock and roll slash glam rock legends coming up right here, starting off with this twofer of one of the best bands ever, a band that's definitely been pulling their weight on all of these 70s lists so far, and another couple of just crazy good singles and B-sides coming out by the sweet. The second half of this twofer is one of my all-time favorite songs, and the fact that the one before it is badass should not go unnoticed. So kicking off this twofer by the sweet, we're going to go with an obscure one, then followed by one that I believe might have been at least a number one, or it should have been. But kicking off this twofer, we have Burn on the Flame. Turn it up.
Make me feel all right. 14, they'll be learning.
And at 14, they'll be burning. But there's something in the air of which we all will be aware. But they don't care. No, 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 sir.
Now join the revolution. Get yourself the Constitution. Now join the revolution now. And recognize your age. It's a teenage rampage. Turn another page on the teenage rampage now. So recognize your age.
What a great twofer right there. Brought to you by The Sweet and your friends here at Rock Strikes 10. But that was Burn on the Flame to kick off that twofer. That was the B-side from a song called The Six Teens. And that would prove to be a single from Desolation Boulevard. More on that later. And then we finished off that set, once again, one of my all-time favorite songs, Teenage Rampage right there. The fact that that isn't considered as good as like a We Will Rock You or something is a crime to me. So yeah, love me some Teenage Rampage. Everybody should know that song as much as Ballroom Blitz or Fox on the Run or anything else. And those are great, perfect songs. But that is an equally perfect song as well, written and recorded around the same time as those two songs. But yeah, man, what a roll they are on creatively at this point. And there's more to come for The Sweet. So watch out. And they will definitely be appearing on the album's countdown coming up here really, 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 really soon. Just after this episode, we're going to get them started. We continue on with a real, real odd and end here by another all-timer. And that would be T-Rex. So what's going on here? So Mark Bolan and T-Rex, they basically conquered all of the UK and are starting to make a little noise in America. But you'd be surprised, as cool as T-Rex is perceived now by like the hipsters and stuff like that, they were not a big band over here in the US. As far as I could tell, they were just kind of a little bit of a blip, almost, in a sense. Not a little bit bigger than a blip, but you see what I'm getting at. Time has been kind to them with the record buying public. But yeah, so what happened was they're finally going to make a move to try to make some waves in America, because honestly, like, there's a little bit of a dwindling in popularity going on, it seems, in the UK, just kind of looking at the trends and everything. So the idea is to make a move for America. They sign an American deal, and I believe it's actually with Casablanca Records, believe it or not. And they go and put out a compilation in 1974, and it's called Light of Love. And some of these songs are songs that haven't really been released all that much. They'll actually wind up being released on a proper, quote-unquote, proper release in 1975, the year after. But basically, it's like a pastiche of two different records and some singles. And this is the idea that they're going to put this out, and this is going to be the album that breaks them through to America, because Bang A Gong was a decent enough singles minor hit in America. So they're going to kind of capitalize on that, and just the fact that they have a name, maybe they can make it work. Stranger things have happened for sure, and other bands have gotten popular in the U.S. via the U.K. for weirder reasons than this. So this seemed to make sense. The formula was there. The idea was there. It probably should have happened. And I don't know what happened, but it didn't happen. They didn't get quite the breakthrough in popularity they were supposed to in the U.S. So this is kind of one of those oddball releases, and it's not even probably recognized by a good amount of the fan base, but this was the attempt to get them over in America as superstars, like big-time, next-level superstars. And so the fact that this song actually winds up being a big part of the next T-Rex album that won't come out until 1975, and the fact that it's on this compilation in 1974 and has a single out for it is really just like head-scratching. It's like, man, what's going on here? But yeah, that's the kind of short Reader's Digest version of what was being attempted in 1974 to make them more popular in the States. So this is a U.S.-only release, Light of Love, and I'm going to play you the title track off of it. So here you go. Here's some T-Rex for you.
La, 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 the light of love. Oh, light of love, won't you shine on me? Won't you shine on me, light of love? Oh, won't you burn? Won't you burn for me? Won't you burn for me, light?
All Riot, some T-Rex right there with their would-be big breakthrough hit in America. That was Light of Love, also from a song that would show up on Zip Gun in the next year on a proper release. So, yeah, there you go. Perhaps more on Zip Gun next year. I believe we might be talking about T-Rex's proper album release in 74 coming up here on the Albums Countdown. And, yeah, so there you go. This next band right here, definitely a band that broke through for me as a fan doing these 70s countdowns and being like, okay, I understand now what some of these old guys were telling me a few years ago, like, oh, this band right here, it's one of those, oh man, this band should have been huge. And, you know, you usually go, yeah, okay, Gramps, okay, Dad, yeah, sure, whatever. But when you hear it, you're like, oh man, yeah, no, this is really good shit. And I'm talking about this band right here, Trapeze, and known to be one of the Glenn Hughes bands. And that's another guy, Glenn Hughes, the fact that I've just grown leaps and bounds in fandom for this guy, somewhat in related to doing these retrospectives, but I was on board before that. But really getting to know a band like Trapeze, I'm like, oh, man. But in 1974, the future was looking a little weird for Trapeze because they're losing Glenn Hughes, but they're going to decide to continue on. Two diminishing returns, unfortunately, because, man, it's got to suck. They're losing Glenn Hughes to Deep Purple. And apparently, Glenn said he actually regretted leaving the band. I think maybe he thought he could do both things, or at least put him on hiatus with him while he was out doing this Deep Purple thing, but it was not to be. They wound up, quote, replacing him. But, yeah, he was like, yeah, those are my brothers, and I felt bad that I even left him. But, I mean, honestly, like, I see why he did. Obviously, Deep Purple's a big name, but, like, why would you not want to try? So, yeah, but good for him for, like, really putting these guys over. Is like, man, we could have been bigger, blah, blah, blah. But, anyway, in 74, there's a Trapeze compilation that's basically putting the Glenn Hughes era to bed right here. And it's called The Final Swing. It just basically features highlights of their first handful of records. And it ends up with two new songs at the very end of it. Songs that got cut off these records, but they're damn good songs. So it's like, you know, the whole major label bait. You get the best of and put a few new songs on it to get the hardcore fans to buy it. But I'm sure for a good amount of people, this might have been their introduction. Not for some of the Van Halen brothers, though, who were huge fans of Trapeze even before this and based the band on a lot of their stuff early on. But yeah, if you see this record out and about, it could be a good entry to Trapeze for you as well. I mean, of course, you got to get some of the Bibles, like You Are the Music, We're Just the Band. I talked about that on the 72 Countdown. That's one of the great rock albums ever. But yeah, The Final Swing right here, good compilation. It's the one that's got the actual Trapeze artist drawn on the album cover. So yeah, seven old songs, two new songs. Hey, it's the 70s. Nine songs will get you a record. But yeah, I'm going to play you both of the previously unreleased, quote, new songs for this Final Swing compilation. So here you go. Here's a double shot of some Trapeze for you. Enjoy. Thank you. right, there you go. The two bonus songs for the Trapeze compilation, Final Swing, started off with a really cool, nice, smooth ballad right there. Very Bob Welch-esque, and nothing wrong with that. But hearing Glenn Hughes sing on a ballad, that's a treat right there. But that song was called Good Love, and we finished things off with a really smoking instrumental called That's It. So, yeah, you got to say it that way. All right, we just have a few more songs left to go. Let's play you something here by the now late great queen of rock and roll, Tina Turner. And I think I talked about this actually when I did my Tina tribute last year, is that I think it's real interesting that her first proper solo album, and not that she's been emancipated by Ike at this point, but for her first proper solo album here in 1974, interesting that they decided to go with a whole album full of country covers, basically, country and western songs. So yeah, interesting. And not that Tina can't pull off anything, because she can, but yeah, it's an interesting choice to make. A questionable one for sure, but I mean, hey, she's covering songs by some of the bigs of all time. Guys like Kris Kristofferson and Hank Snow, who's written a ton of hits for other people, Dolly Parton even. And then you get like other stuff by like country adjacent artists like James Taylor and Bob Dylan and stuff like that. But I'm going to go ahead and go with this one right here. I may have already played this. I'm trying to remember if I did, but I do really dig this track. It's a lot of fun. And it's the only original on the album. She didn't write it, but this song was written for her, for this album specifically. So she has all the identity on this song. So here you go. And of course, yeah, the reason it's on the odds and ends, because it's mostly covers. It's 9 covers and an original. But here's the original off of this album called Tina Turns the Country On. So here is Tina Turner with the Bayou song.
Sit
Ah, yes, there you go. Never get tired of some Tina right there. That was Tina Turner with the Bayou song from Tina Turns, the country on. Yes, I like that. Actually, that's a good title for an album because it's a dual reference. I do dig that. It's witty, I will say. As carny as it is, it's pretty witty as well. Okay, this last two for right here. Going to get into some classic rock artists. And starting off with The Who. And The Who put out a rarities and kind of orphans compilation called Odds and Sods in 1974. There, man, Pete Townsend's one of those guys, like his demos are like things that artists would kill for because he's just so good. Like the stuff that he throws away is gold. Like, and proof positive right here, one of his biggest like what ifs is this album project that he basically abandoned called Lifehouse. And this was supposed to be another big rock opera, of course, in the tradition of Tommy and Quadrophenia and stuff like that. So Lifehouse was supposed to come out in the early 70s, and it wound up becoming one of their most popular records ever in Who's Next. He took a lot of material from that and just turned it into a traditional non-conceptual album in Who's Next. And it's a good thing he did because, I mean, dude, imagine a world without Who's Next. That album is just freaking perfect, basically. But yeah, so this whole Lifehouse thing, it's never got put out, at least not officially. I'm sure there's fan bootleg versions of it. And I know that there was like a big deluxe of Who's Next. I actually have it. It's got a lot of that stuff on there as well. But the first time anybody heard some of the songs off of something like this and some of all the other stuff that didn't get put out, and then a couple of like old releases, like it's got their High Numbers stuff on here, which was the original Who before they became known as The Who. They were called the High Numbers. It's got some songs on that. But yeah, this one right here, I just think it's neat. I don't think this song would have stuck out too much on Who's Next. And so I've always really liked this song, but you could definitely see it as a narrative somewhere around the middle of the conceptual album that never came out called Lifehouse. So here you go, in classic fully produced Who demo right here called Pure and Easy.
Not down any walls. Thank you.
closing off the show here today and closing off the last part, part four of the odds and ends of 1974. Like a good old concert finish right there. I did well on the A to Z to where it feels like a main set closer like The Who doing Pure and Easy right there. And then finishing off with a crowd pleaser, an old Chuck Berry song right there via Johnny Winter and his album from 1974, Saints and Sinners, which is, I believe, is like 7 or 8 covers and then a couple of originals or songs at least written by him and his brother. But yes, that was, of course, a cover of the Chuck Berry classic. Even at that point in 74, that song was a classic. 30 Days right there. One of the first ever Chuck Berry songs, by the way. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. Johnny's contending for the albums list coming up here in 1974. So let's see if he makes it on there. At this point, I don't even know. He's in contention. I like Johnny. I like him more now. But yeah, we'll see what happens. You're going to have to tune in. So there's a little tease right there. Got the big, I believe it's going to be an 8-parter here. The best albums of 1974. It's a killer list. I try to bring the smoke. I try to bring the heat and all those other sports references. I just want to give you a good quality show. And I want to give you a good quality countdown. And I want to do right by these big, big all-time years of some of the best eras of rock and rock history and rock-adjacent stuff in general. So hope you're along the ride with me here. Hope you enjoyed these four parts of 1974's Odds and Ends. And check out the album's countdown coming up. All right, I plugged it enough. Let me try to finalize this list. But until I do, stay tuned for my better half, Nola, with the plugs, followed by the best damn outro song in all the podcasting business. Take it away, Nola.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, we give our cats Ruby and Ripley a treat. We are on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have RockStrikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message for more details or to order. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going all the way back to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, check out some of these other quality shows. The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other. The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative. The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure. And the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. We also highly recommend that you check out our good friend Mark Striegel, who can now be heard exclusively on SiriusXM as part of Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. Last, but certainly not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent ya. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.
Post-game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.